I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse.
Is it good? Hello, folks. OJ here on, is today Friday? Today is Friday, right?
Nope.
Nope.
Not in Comic-Con.
I seriously don't even know anymore. It's Friday, sort of midday, not the end yet. It's getting late, couple more hours.
Not even though, it's like 60 minutes till this whole thing ends.
Jesus.
So the con explodes.
Except that the Artist Alley, they keep Artist Alley open until 8 p.m. They keep us here an extra hour.
Artist Alley,
but I'm not staying an extra hour. I'll be honest with you. So I am here with Eric Scarecrow, who has not been on the show since Toy Street.
Really?
We did a video segment with you at Toy Street the last time that happened.
The only time.
Really?
That was the last time. I mean, I see you. We talk.
Yeah.
But outside of the show, we did.
Oh my God.
We talked at your booth that day.
That was the last time I did geek stuff.
Yes, and that was how many years ago now? Three? It's got to be at least three.
Toy Street doesn't exist no more.
Well, you know, too much pussy marijuana, so eventually that was going to come to an end.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. But I've been trying to get Eric to do the show at no fault of his own, mostly at my fault, because I'm just way too busy and he's very busy. But we want to talk about a couple different things. I figured we would start out talking a little bit about something you have coming up.
Oh, okay.
And I know you can't share a lot, but you are handing out postcards, so you could at least share a little, I'm assuming.
Yeah. That's the project, the Kickstarter project that I'm working on right now. It's for an animation project called 9 Deadly Killer Pussies.
Okay.
Also known as 9DKP.
Now, if you haven't checked out some of the other animations that Eric has done in the past just for product releases and stuff...
Yeah, that was just for toys.
But but if you remember when we talked about those, when you released the second or third one that you had done,
right.
I was talking to you and I was like, when are you going to do an animated show? You're like, I really would love to do an animated show.
Yeah.
And here we are like a year and a half later, probably.
2 years.
And you're 2 years later?
Years
and
later.
You're on the cusp of doing that.
Yeah, man. I mean, this project is really dear to me because I developed it like 5 years ago and... Now, you know, I basically, I don't want to say convinced or mind-tricked.
You Jedi mind-tricked somebody. You know, this is the animation project you're looking for.
Yeah, I'm partnering with a Japanese animation studio that really, really, you know, they believe in the project as well. And they think it's a really awesome concept.
That's awesome.
I also bring like a Western edge to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's... That's one of the things that they're looking at. Like, okay, well, you know, it's definitely a new concept and a unique perspective.
And they have to recognize the fact that you bring a fan base to it, right? I mean, not to pat you on the back, right?
Oh,
but,
man.
But people clearly are familiar with your work because I gotta tell you, for those of you who've been listening to the other segments that we've been publishing. The last 2 days, we keep talking about that. We have some of Eric's prints here at the booth,
right?
And people keep stopping by the booth and they're like, "Where is he?" And he doesn't have his own booth this year. How come? I don't know. I'm not his PR guy. Where can I find him? Maybe at my booth later. That's been the conversation. So, what I mean, clearly people are familiar with your work and you have a fan base, right? Because they know your work.
Yeah.
That's kind of playing into it at least a little bit.
Yeah, this is definitely, it very, very grassroots level, you know. This campaign, I mean, if you look at this project, it being an animation project versus if it was a toy collectible project.
Right.
It's a different scale.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, and it's a different market, too, where, you know, the animation crowd is there. You know, they are bigger than the art toy crowd.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of crossover, but I think the crossover is more that people who enjoy art toys also enjoy animation. But yes. Maybe not everybody who enjoys animation understands or appreciates art toys.
Well, art toys, but they appreciate collectibles.
They right.
Based on the animation.
Right. So.
And that's what I'm aiming for. Because, you know, I think this is what makes sense. I've been doing collectibles for...
many years.
Yeah, like prior to EOC, I've been doing it for over... since 2002. That's 11 years.
I was going to say, it's probably been about 10 years. Probably.
Yeah, and... you know, even through ESC Toy, I've released, you know, so many figs. And one of the constant questions and inquiries was, what's this figure related to? Is it related to, you know, a comic, a game, animation, so on and so forth? And, you know, in the beginning, I'm like, it's just an art piece, you know, it's not. But I felt that something was happening. Like, you know, there's a natural... question and people want to know more about these characters or whatever, you know.
That's that licensed collectible mentality. Art toy movement in general is that people don't understand that not everything is based on something else.
No.
Because everybody's used to buying, you know, Batman toys or Star Wars toys or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, like NECA puts out all the movie toys and Mezco all the movie. So they're used to there being some sort of background.
Yes, you're absolutely right about
that. Excuse
me,
are you going to let Eric Scarecrow do any of the talking in this interview?
He is.
I'm just saying.
He's been talking, sir. He's been talking. I haven't interrupted one of your interviews yet. I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there. But I mean, this is a conversation that both me and you have probably had off mic, right?
I've had similar
conversations with other guys in the art toy world, movement, whatever you want to name
label it. Right.
So I think that it's great that you're figuring out you've figured out a good way to hopefully bring the two together.
Right. Right.
And then continue both of them forward. Parallel, you know, at the same time, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I feel I could do more.
Okay.
So.
And I know you want to do more.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not. You know, I could be complacent where I'm at, but I really feel like I could do more.
Right.
So
right.
Why don't I try?
Absolutely.
And, you know, and yeah, I've tried doing this with networks, but I think Kickstarter is going to be, you know, with people giving the general public giving me a chance. Like, they're the ones that really, you know, if you could move the crowd and they see something that they like and believe in, you know, then it becomes something of a reality. So.
And then the good part about Kickstarter, of course, is that for all intents and purposes, right, Kickstarter is really like, it's a pre-sale mechanism.
Yeah.
Right? So you've already established your, at least the beginnings of your base, or your fan base, or your audience. And
yeah,
then it spreads from there. And if it's successful, then you move on to continuing the project or the next project, and maybe you don't need Kickstarter then.
No. I think having...
not that Kickstarter is bad.
I understand that crowdfunding element.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I think about the crowdfunding, especially in this day and age, is that it's like it builds momentum.
Right.
For you look at, let's say, an old project. Like, you even see projects based on old IPs.
Right.
You know, and things that a TV network or a Hollywood studio, I'll talk about entertainment in particular, they'll deem, you know,
the greatest American dollar,
hey, we got this. We got this, you know, they'll say, look, I got this idea to, you know, like the Veronica Mars example. The creator's like, hey, you know, I got this idea, you know, let's try this. But meanwhile, Warner Brothers is like, look, the studio's just like, what was smart was he said, look, let me go on Kickstarter. Okay, I'm pretty sure he did a lot of certain things on his own dime.
Right.
To Warner Bros. It won't cost you a thing. Let me just see if this works. What's it going to cost you if it's on the shelf already?
Right.
Well, not even on the shelf. It was like in the
vault.
Yeah. So when, you know, this thing grosses $6 million.
Yep.
It's a statement at this point.
Sure.
It's not like, oh, it's a fluke. It's a statement.
Warner Brothers recognizes now that there's still life in it.
Yeah, and it's showing you that it's not just the appeal of the project, but it's the momentum that came with the crowd. And I think when you have people involved and they feel like they're really participating in
the
process.
Part of the process, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, it's like, you know, you're not just putting out product. These people are getting to it's like a yay or nay. Like, you know what, I love this, I want to be part of it, and they back it.
You know what it's like? It's like when you get when you buy a movie and you get the behind-the-scenes featurette. This is the behind-the-scenes featurette before.
Yeah, and that's awesome. That's, like, really awesome.
Yeah, it definitely is it's definitely an interesting... The crowdsourcing is definitely an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah.
That's very hot right now. But it makes a lot of sense. And of course, the most important part, I think, which I don't think you will have an issue with, but is making sure that your project stands out.
Oh.
But again, I think what the benefit that you have is that you have a pool of people to at least alert that the project has launched again.
Again, at a grassroots level.
Yeah,
so.
you're underestimating yourself. You're being far too humble, I think. You're being far too humble, I think.
I think
people just try to do it without anything, right? They got their best friend at home on the couch, and they're like, I'm going to tell someone.
That's
I got 10 followers on Twitter.
I'll say that's ill planning.
Right.
Because this is a campaign, man. Like, sure. It's you know, you really have to... oh my God! You really have to prep for these things, and a lot of things pop up that you aren't aware of. And I think one of the cool things too that Kickstarter does is it doesn't take down projects that either are successful or failed.
Yep.
So you could really study what worked
what
and what
worked
didn't
and what
work.
Didn't.
You know, and you're looking at the comments that the backers gave, and you really look at their insight, and you'll see with these people. Either complain about this or they're, you know, it's such an interesting concept, dude. Like, yep. I'm, you know, when Kickstarter first started back in what, 2009.
Is it that old?
It's not even, that's young.
Yeah, but I feel like I didn't even hear about Kickstarter.
After all that talking we did about it.
Oh, maybe 2009. I'm trying to think the first Kickstarter campaign I contributed to.
It was
the Toy Break OMFG. Series 1.
Yeah, that was
2010, maybe?
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2009. Wow, okay.
And they broke, what, 15 grand in 1 week, right?
Yeah, I mean, they blew it out of the water.
Yeah.
Good for them. I mean,
I think like Kickstarter as a whole has grossed over 500 million today. It's probably even more than what I'm saying right now.
Right.
That's a very big deal.
And it was.
You know, it's letting people know, like, hey, you know what? You know, you really could get things done.
Well, it's just another element of that cutting out the middleman.
Well, if the middleman gave some more opportunities to people.
Well, that's what I mean. What's great about it is it gives opportunities to people who wouldn't regularly have an opportunity.
Yeah.
In some regards.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So that's awesome. And that's going to be launching sometime in November.
Yeah, I'm aiming for early November to mid-November. If anything, it'll... Late November, it's definitely dropping. It's going to start in November of 2013.
All right. So I would say then to the Geek Stuff listeners, you know that we'll be talking about it every week.
Yay.
Once it launches, no doubt, and leading up to the launch. So obviously, stay tuned to future episodes of the show. Stay tuned to the website because I'll post information as soon as I know that it's available. And I will make sure to share it with our audience. And, of course, we ask you to share it with your friends and family and all that good stuff as well. And is there any other projects you're working on that you want to talk about or anything? You want to just shoot the shit about something you hate or con experience overall? Or you want to tell me to shut the fuck up?
No, not at all.
All the options are cool.
I'm still working hard at ESC Toy. It's Kickstarter. The 9DKP Kickstarter is a lot of work, but I'm really looking forward to it.
I think I once said you're one of the hardest working people in toys that I know.
Yeah.
And testament to that is that I know that you're working on this Kickstarter project and you're spending a lot of time in it.
He is the James Brown of the designer world.
But I feel like I haven't seen you slow down or slack significantly in just your day-to-day ESC toy art and releases. I still feel like you're cranking shit out and good stuff. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
It's still all quality stuff. So it's good that It's good that you haven't had to sacrifice the quality of your product. I know you're sacrificing personal time and sanity, but on the consumer end or the fan end, the product is still coming out and it's still great. So
thank you.
So congratulations on that. It's a feat in and of itself.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. I try to stay busy. It helps, like, you know, especially this year has been really hard. I lost my dad in February, so.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about that.
No, it's okay. And then that, you know, going through that hard time and, you know, constantly working and, you know, dealing with the grief and the work, you know, the creative work really helps me get through the process.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Gives you something to focus on.
Yeah, and it's positive.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's one of the good things about, you know, I guess letting go, because you could go two ways when you lose someone. You know, you can either go
down the dark spiral, right, or you can kind of push through and.
Yeah, and my art and work, you know, as a whole, all my creative work has really helped me.
That's awesome. I'm you're fortunate to have that outlet, but I'm glad it helped you through the tough times.
Thank you.
As it were.
Thank you.
But thank you very much for sitting down with us.
Yeah,
it's greatly appreciated.
This is cool, man. I appreciate it.
And I hope that we don't have to wait 3 years
for
another con to get canceled or disappear.
Okay, I'm ready to interview Eric Scarecrow now. So if we can set that up, I'm ready to roll.
Before you're back on the show, we'd love to have you on anytime you want.
Thank you.
You want to come out, or we'll come to you, or we'll figure something out in the future.
Yeah. That'll be dope. Wow, awesome. I would love that. Yeah.
All right, everybody, be sure to check out esctoy.com. Of course, you know, check out his shop. Come by the booth and check out the exclusives, because we have some awesome prints here. And, you know, pay attention to what he's got going on. It's a lot. And, you know, toys, prints, the animation project. It's a busy, busy man.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Eric.
Oh, that was so dope.